G'day, folks. This is the podcast for Monday, the 16th of November for Paddy Gerard and Rob Palmer. Of course, Paddy Gerard's not around.
That's right. I'm Brownie. Hello, filling in. Coming up in the podcast, Denny Badiris ahead of the State of Origin. Go the New South Wales Blues. Sarah Beard from Take 3 for the Sea tells us about their CEO's beach cleanup too.
Of course, you are much better looking than Paddy Gerard, Brownie.
Thank you, sir.
And
thank
I'm you. Sure you're told that all the time. But right now, we've got the forum.
When the big issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed, people turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is the forum.
And we thought topical today, with it being 34 degrees across the Central Coast already. We're sitting on 17 degrees right now at Tacoma. The heat today, what's doing?
G'day, Kylie from Charmhaven.
Good morning. How you going, guys?
Yeah, going really well. What are your plans for getting through this stinker of a day today?
Well, being lucky enough to work in an office, not outdoors, I still have a blower heater under my desk with the aircon crank, so I do longer hours.
What do you do? You get it? Did you say blower heater?
I still have a blower heater under my desk that sits directly on my
Are you mad?
Oh no, I get it.
A little bit.
No, I get it. So even though it's stinking hot outside and it's going to be 34 degrees across the coast, inside your office, you're freezing and you've got the heater on.
It is an ice, exactly right. Heater on, jacket on, everything. I'm doing longer hours.
There is so much wrong with that, Kylie.
That's going to mess with your system, walking into the office, then walking out of the office.
Kylie's cranking up the heater.
I am. It's pretty sad, right?
Oh, Kylie, you're a nut job.
You are
in the draw for caller of the week. Thank you very much for getting in touch.
Reese from Lizaro, how are you?
G'day, Reese.
How you going?
All right, mate. What do you do to get through a day like today?
Well, mate, what you do, you empty out your recycling bin, fill it full of water, big straw hat, float around in there for a little while, bobbing around.
Have you dead
job
set?
Job done.
Have you dead set done that, Reese?
Absolutely, mate.
I hope you throw a bit of the old Dishlex in there beforehand or something like that to give it a bit of sanitation.
Oh, yeah, you wash it out for a little bit first, yeah.
Yeah, of course you do. Last time I stuck my head in our bin, I tell you what, that bin juice, it's nasty
binges.
Stuff.
Got to go to the recycling, mate. Yeah, don't do it with the red bin.
Very responsible. Good on you, mate. Thank you.
Safety warning from Reese.
Tina from Clarnivale, what are you doing to keep yourself cool? What are your tips on a day like today?
Hey, Tina.
Hey, mate, I'm going to work and staying there as long as I can.
Bit of overtime.
Yeah. That is fantastic, Tina. Stay at work as long as possible and use the air conditioning and go home late.
That's right, and get in the good books with the boss.
That's it.
Good on you, Tina. Have a great day.
See you, Tina.
You too.
Oh, yes, when those big issues need to be discussed.
Tell you what, there's some things I never thought I'd hear done.
Yeah, mixing bin juice with a bit of cold water.
The water in the bin.
For a bath.
What a bad shout.
Yuck.
How appropriate that the Queenslander of this breakfast team, Paddy Gerard, yes. is not in the building right now.
On a hot day. All right. Well, you know what, Paddy, I know he's one-eyed Queenslander, yes, and this Wednesday night, Game 3, we've got a cracking finale to the series of State of Origin, and we're joined right now by a bloke doing it tough at Magenta Shores. Let's just go through this guy for a second
Hard
here, okay?
Right now.
Former Newcastle Knight, all right? Premiership, he won that with the team 2001. Kangaroo Tours for Australia, 2001-2003. He captained New South Wales in 15 State of Origin matches between 04 and 08. The Dally M Player of the Year in 04. The Dally M Hooker of the Year in 2002-2004-2005. Brad Fittler Medal winner in 2008. Apart from that, he hasn't done much.
Hasn't done much. That's something of a resume.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, Denny Badiris.
G'day, Denny.
Hey, guys, it sounds a little bit better than the golf game, put it that way. So,
I bet it is.
Sure, that'd be too kind of me.
Well, mate, you're at Magenta Shores. It's a tough course. Have you been playing it?
Yeah, well, it's the last. I've only played it twice. It's been a lot of hard work going on, boys, I tell you. But
it sounds like the
wind's finally died down. So I think a couple of players that have been out of it and enjoyed themselves.
Mate, it's easy to lose a ball there, let me tell you. Now, look, let's get on to the rugby league. Now, how are the players feeling about Queensland opening up the stadium? Has that been part of the preparation, preparing for 50,000 screaming Queenslanders?
Yeah, you sort of could see it falling in place, couldn't you? You know, after the elections and whatever, we just sort of think, oh, I'm sure this probably could be on the cards. And, you know, it did happen. We've got a couple of Queenslanders, you know, our manager, Peter Page, he's up North Queensland. You've got Payne Haas and So they all understand that, what could have happened. They spoke about it, but no, that's fine. It's just actually about the whole Origin experience the players get, and it's the biggest crowd they're going to play in front of this year. So it's exciting for all of us.
Do you confiscate anybody with a bit of Queensland blood inside the camp there? Do you confiscate all mobile phones and so they don't pass anything back over the border?
Mate, they know Queenslanders when they walk in here. It's that's the best thing about Origin. It's the best of friends, worst of enemies. So it's that's what it's about, and that's why Origin's so successful and that glad it's in our game.
Okay, well look, let's go back over the series so far. Game one didn't go to plan for us, but in game two we were brilliant. How's game three going to play out?
Yeah, game one, it was for both teams had to fly into Adelaide. For both states, there was a sort of segmented sort of groups coming in as they got beaten during the year and Origin play. The grand final play. So there was a bit of a disrupted, let's just say, preparation. But they were too good on the night. Queensland, they handled it a lot better. And we had a good first half and just didn't get it done in the second half. But we had to correct a couple of things for game two, which we did. But both teams will be at. What you see in game two, but first two games, I'm sure you'll see something different in game three again. So big crowd will raise the intensity. And,
If there is anything you don't underestimate, it's a bunch of Queenslanders on Lang Park in up there in Brisbane. They're a different force, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. The deciders haven't been, last time we've done that, it was in 2005, gone up there and won a decider in game three. And I've done it in 94. I haven't done it too many times. So the challenge is ahead. I think it's exciting for the players to understand what the record books say, and it'd be nice to be a part of something pretty special.
So, Danny, have you been across the fact that the Channel 9 broadcasting team are not allowed to go to the game for State of Origin 3? What do you make of that?
I'd kick Joey out as well. So Joey can't go. Andrew John, is that right?
Yeah, can't go. That's the word. That's the word.
Absolute. Wow.
So you're probably going to get a bunch of one-eyed Queenslanders in the commentary box on Channel 9 as well.
Yeah.
Luckily, mate, that's one good thing about being in Magenta Shores. It's been, and being in bubble world, the restrictions, we haven't heard what's going on other than talking to a couple of guys like yourselves in the media outlets, and that's it. But, we don't know what's going on out there, but that's interesting, put it that way.
Yeah, mate, a couple of the younger players in the team, have you prepared them for what that's going to be like? Because yourself, who's been there and played in those situations for years, it is a different thing, isn't it? Especially when they walk through the corridor out into a... what's going to be 99.9% Queenslanders and that big roar.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's hard to put a finger on, I guess you could say, and tell them around that until they experience it. But you can talk about it and understand what it could be. But once they get out there, they're in for a hell of an Origin experience. And it is. As you're going into hostile territory, you should embrace that. You get an understanding of how good it could be once you do perform well and hopefully get the right result.
Yeah, well, we hope so for New South Wales' sake. You got Anastasia Palaszczuk acting like a feral sideline parent in the under-12s, beating New South Welshman with an umbrella, saying, here, cop this of all of Queensland's might. So
we can do it. We can do it.
What I'm hearing is also everyone's going to go back in the bubble after that experience. They can let all those people in, but then all the players have to go back into the bubble, the quarantine. Right. So
try celebrating the Origin in a bubble.
Yeah, it's a crazy year. Anyway.
That's great.
We're onto it.
Well, Danny, good on you, mate. Thanks for chatting us. Go the Blues Wednesday night. You'll hear the game live here on Triple M. All the best, mate, and thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Go well, Danny. How about Take Three for the Sea? Right. This initiative, I'm sure just about everybody on the coast has heard of it. If you've been to a beach, you've probably seen a sign.
Yep.
And the word is spreading. I mean, it's down on the Sydney beaches now. You'll see occasionally the signs where they're saying Take Three for the Sea.
Yeah.
And it's about simple actions addressing complex problems.
Exactly. It's rubbish. It's when you walk around the beach, you go for a bit of a walk, whether it be by yourself, with the kids, it's all about sustainability. And, looking after wildlife, which is devastating the oceans, this sort of rubbish, it's something that we can all do. And if you've ever heard exactly the words Take Three for the Sea, what does it mean?
Well, it's basically taking three pieces of rubbish with you whenever you leave the beach.
Yep.
Make sure you've taken something that shouldn't be there away and put it in a bin. And it's not just the big pieces of plastic or the big bags or whatever that are the problem. It's the tiny little bits of plastic.
Puddle pop stick.
Anything that's down there that shouldn't be can be a real problem for marine life. But someone who is right across this knows all about it. In fact, she's the CEO of Take Three for the Sea and is organising a great event that was on last year and has just been so successful. We're doing it again this year. Take Three for the Sea, CEO cleanup. The CEO of Take Three for the Sea, Sarah Beard.
Morning, Sarah.
Can we get take three for the scene to the conversation one more time?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
G'day,
Fantastic,
Sarah.
Fantastic, mate. Exciting to have it back for another year.
I know. I'm so excited. I wasn't around for last year's event. I only jumped on as CEO this year in March. So I'm super, super excited. We've got it on Friday of this week. And at the moment, the most exciting bit is I am the head of the leaderboard on the fundraising leaderboard.
Yeah,
oh, top
nicely done. Very good.
It's not that I'm boasting or anything.
No. Well, last year's event raised $15,000, which is great because it helps to run education programs in schools for some 1,500 kids to date. But we've got to keep educating them about this sort of stuff. And this year, you want to double that. You want to raise $30,000.
That's right. We want to raise $30,000. We're well on target. We've currently raised, as of hot off the press this morning, $8,806. And I know it sounds like a long way to go, but we actually found last year we doubled in the last week and then doubled again on the day. So we currently have 43 CEOs signed up, which is more than last year.
Yep.
There's about three or four that have been nominated. So we think we're going to get about 50 CEOs and business leaders on the day.
Oh, that's fantastic. So now CEOs, if you're running a small business, you can effectively, you're a CEO, is that right?
That's right. We have lots of small business owners. So I kind of like to call it the business leaders. And for me, yes, it is a fundraising event for Take Three and it is really important. But the other really important thing for us is it's bringing business leaders on the coast together with a common goal of making commitment to sustainable business and keeping our beaches and waterways plastic free. So we've got businesses small and large, and their CEOs are showing us and their leaders are showing us that this is an opportunity to lead by example and really make a positive change here in our community.
Our fearless leader and CEO, Kristen, she's going to have the gloves on this Friday. She's taking part in this fantastic event. And for other people that aren't there just yet and they're hearing more about it right now and going, okay, what do they do? Tell us more, Sarah.
Well, unfortunately, because of COVID, we're pretty limited on numbers on the day. We have to obviously have just groups of 30 each in each section.
Yep.
Unfortunately, this time it's not a community event where everyone can rock up. But the great thing about Take Three is the simplicity of our message. It's the strength of our organisation that everybody, whether you're a CEO or not, or a kid, you can be part of the solution. So whenever you're on the beach, out there by a waterway, you can take three for the sea. So you can kind of be your own little business leader in your own school environment, in your community, in your own workplace. Everybody can be part of the solution because the message is so simple. Just always got to be really safe, obviously, when you're picking up litter.
Yeah, you don't have to look too hard. I mean, at a distance, a beach can look really clean, but it's when you have a closer look that you find a lot of this small plastic rubbish.
Yeah, that was right. I listened to you in the introduction. I was really pleased to hear you say that because especially up here on the coast, when you have a first look, the beaches do look really clean. But when we do beach cleanups, people are always amazed about the amount of what we call microplastics and nanoplastics. They're the really small pieces. And the important thing and the reason why they can actually even be more damaging is you can imagine the seabirds foraging at sea. They see these small pieces of plastics floating around. They think it's fish. So they pick it up and they take it back and feed it to their babies. And over 1 million seabirds every year are impacted and often die from these small plastics. So pick it up when you see it because you really, really are making a difference.
Well, for all the mums and dads in the cars right now getting kids ready to school for school and to take them there, I suppose it'd be fantastic that at one stage down the track, everybody that goes to the beach, they wrap up, they grab their towels and it's Take Three for the sea and they walk off home.
Well, it'd be great if we could get to a point where you can't find three for the sea because we've done so well.
Exactly right.
We'd love that. Put us out of business.
Take Three for the sea, CEO Sarah Beard. Best of luck with the big raising of the cash for this Friday. Thank you very much for joining us this morning here on Triple M.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Tell you what, I got a little bit excited the other day, Brownie. And it doesn't take a lot for me to get excited, but this had me jumping out of my chair.
Right.
I've had type 1 diabetes, right, since I was about 7 years old. It's something that you can't control. You can't really, there's no way of saying, oh, I can avoid this. It's my immune system saying, we're just going to shut down. My immune system sort of failing or making mistakes, and you end up with type 1 diabetes. And there's lots of other things associated with your immune system that can go wrong. And I guess as you live life, I've always made sure that type 1 diabetes has no effect on what I want to do, and I try and live a life unencumbered by type 1 diabetes,
sure.
But at the end of the day, it can lay you on your backside pretty sharpish,
yeah,
if you don't get it right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, good management is a really crucial part of living with something like type 1 diabetes, but I was just going off last week when I saw a story about a new development, mm-hmm, for type 1 diabetes, and someone I thought would be best to talk to and inform us on what is the latest with research and development in type 1 diabetes is my mate Mike Wilson, the CEO of JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and here he is. G'day, Mike.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Brownie.
Hey, mate, how you going? Tell us about this amazing new news.
Look, Rob, like you said, there's a lot of work being put into better treatments, but what we all really want is a cure. And so there's some terrific news of progress that gives us hope that cure we all want is not too far away.
Wow.
Like you said, your immune system needs a bit of help to work properly. We need to give it that help with science, and we've shown now that we can fix part of that immune system in a way that we haven't been able to do before. So like you said, worth jumping for joy, a step in the right direction, not there, but a great step.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've heard over the course of my life, my grandma usually would send me a newspaper clipping saying, Robbie, look at this. And it was always news about a development that I could be excited about, but I tended to be reserved in my excitement because it never seemed to quite get there. Now this, for anyone that hasn't heard, is an injection of cells into the body that the immune system won't reject, so that these cells that they inject can produce insulin. Is that right?
Yeah, so one of the things that happens in type 1 diabetes is certain cells that make insulin get destroyed. We have to both put those cells back and protect them from being destroyed by the body again. And this scientific breakthrough for the first time shows that possibly both of those can happen. Get cells to make insulin when they're needed and stop them from being whacked by the immune system and destroyed again. That's what you need.
Wow. Yeah. So this is something that's in the trial period at the moment. And is this for anyone that may have just been recently diagnosed with diabetes? Can they get involved?
So this is more for established type 1 diabetes. The trials haven't yet been fully formalised. So keep posted. We'll keep you in the loop with how that comes to life. But there's another set of trials in Australia with the best Australian scientists looking at people who are highly at risk of or developing type 1 and preventing it from happening in the time that would otherwise have happened. So delaying it for 2 years, and if we can get that, we can delay 2 to 5 and 5 to 10 and prevent the disease. So we've got two breakthroughs, one at the end of people with the disease and one preventing it from happening. That's bookending the problem we're really trying to solve.
Wow. Hey, Mike, are these developments, mate, have they happened inside Australia, or is this, you know, an international effort?
So one of these, each is one in Australia, one internationally. Rest assured, Australia punches above its weight. We are big players on the world type 1 diabetes research space, and that's because of the support of a lot of people in your audience.
Fantastic news.
Well, everyone who's been affected by type 1 diabetes in some way or form, and that is a lot of people, Mike, should be not overly excited but really positive about this new breakthrough.
As long as every step is a step towards the right result and it starts happening faster and faster, then we've got to hold hope and hold it well.
Oh, that's great news. Well, Mike Wilson, CEO of JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, thanks for joining us this morning, mate, with some great news.
Top shelf.
Thank you, boys.
While we're talking about sport, it'd probably be remiss of me not to say, oh, hola toda gente, Esta Triple M, that's hello.
Spanish?
All. Hello, all people. This is Triple M. Yeah.
Lovely.
So, yo recuerdo muchas español, ahora. Because I remember a lot of Spanish right now.
Gracias.
Because, of course.
Gracias.
The Argentinians absolutely handed the All Blacks their backsides on the weekend.
Anybody beats the All Blacks, fantastic, and the rah-rah.
Oh, the All Blacks haven't been beaten too on the trot because the Wallabies beat them last week.
Yeah.
They haven't been beaten back-to-back losses since 2011.
Imagine the impact of something like that with a team that dominates for so long.
Well, it's time to dump all your New Zealand investments. Like, just dump a lot because the country's about to go into tailspin. And if you are a New Zealand politician right now, do something because you'll get away with it. Because everyone is focused on Ian Foster, the poor coach of the All Blacks, who is now on a 2 wins, 2 losses, and 1 draw record.
Wow.
He is at a 50-50.
Oh.
And that can never have happened. Imagine they lost 3 on the trot.
He wouldn't be sleeping at night.
I wonder if they've ever lost 3 on the trot. I don't know. No one's even thought to look at that stat. But
well, let's hope so.
Good grief, Brownie. They got their backsides handed to them. It wasn't even close. You looked at the Argentinian side, and there was one moment where I was watching the coverage and I saw this is what I think has happened to the All Blacks on this particular day. They're at Bankwest Stadium in Parramatta in the middle of the afternoon on a stinking hot Saturday arvo. And all I could see were flies. There were flies all over the players.
Yeah.
I reckon the Kiwis have lost it with our flies. They were playing Australia and Argentina at the same time because our flies got them. Remember Leave Our Bloody Flies Alone, Jardine?
Yes.
From that test.
Bodyline.
Yeah, from Bodyline.
Yeah, the cricket.
It was kind of like that.
Love it.
Watch them cop the flies. And they had nothing against the Argies. There was a little bit of head slapping going on, like handbags at 10 metres.
Yeah, yeah.
And the referees come over and pulled the captains inside and said, what's going on? And the Argentinian said, I am playing for my country, sir, and this guy is not showing me the respect I deserve. And that came out of the Argy's mouth, and you thought, hang on, they are on
this
here.
Is on.
They are on. And the All Blacks did not respect the Argentinians as much as they'd needed to.
Yep.
The Argies hadn't played a game of footy in 400 and something days. Hadn't played a game.
But you are that pumped up. This is like Australia's won the World Cup.
Oh, well, I tell you what. If we weren't playing them this weekend, Wallabies versus Argentina, I'd be wearing an Argentinian jersey right now. I've got another splendid idea.
Oh, what is it this time?
Well, anyone listening can just subscribe to the Paddy and Rob podcast and stay up to date.